Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Motormouth podcast with Harry Benjamin and Tim Sylvie. This is the place where we meet some of the biggest names in and around motorsport, chat about their lives and everything in between.
It's season 8 and we're really excited to be once again teaming up with F1 Experiences, the official experience, hospitality and travel program of Formula 1. F1 Experiences is the closest you can get to the pinnacle of motorsport. And let's face it, any chance to get close to Formula 1 this year, we are all over it. And the brilliant news is you can now return trackside thanks to F1 Experiences. Enjoy the very best race tickets and track hospitality, first class hotel, and unprecedented access you simply cannot get anywhere else. For more information on how you can book your F1 experience, visit f1experiences.com, where you can also save 5% on your very own F1 experiences package by using the code Motormouth when checking out online. So what are you waiting for? Experience the 2021 F1 season firsthand with exclusive access courtesy of F1 Experiences. Get booking today at f1experiences.com.
Hello, Tim Sylvie here. Now, our guest today hails from the lovely Chipping Norton in the Cotswolds. And did you know, Harry Benjamin, that the town is famous for its wool and tweed production, but it's probably more famous these days thanks to Jeremy Clarkson, as his hit show Diddley Squat Farm is located in Chadlington, 3 miles south. Clarkson isn't the only famous name from the area, which also includes the likes of David Beckham, David Cameron, Lord Bamford, and many more. But now, Harry Benjamin, I would like to test your knowledge of the Cotswolds. There is a well-known event, and I'll be surprised if you don't know the answer to this, by the way. There is a well-known event that happens at a place called Cooper's Hill, which involves chasing what down a hill?
Oh, it's not like a hay bale or something, is it?
A hay bale. Where have you got a hay bale from?
No. What do you chase down a hill?
You can't chase a hay bale down a hill. It's square
yeah,
for a
you start. Can. You roll it down and then you've got to run after it.
No, it's not a hay bale.
Oh, right. What is it then? Why should I know this? Is it really...
I feel like this is well-known knowledge.
Is it? In the Cotswolds? What?
You must have seen this on telly. Shall I give it to... Do you want the answer?
Well, yeah. Because if it's not hay bale, then I don't want to know about it, actually.
It's a round of cheese. Have you heard about this? It's mental.
Okay.
So they roll...
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
People come from all around the world. They roll a 7-pound double Gloucester down a hill, Cooper's Hill, 200 yards. It rolls down there. People come from... Well, past winners have come from Canada, New Zealand, even Nepal. The first person to catch the cheese and cross the finish line is the winner. But the cheese can reach speeds of up to 70 miles an hour. So it's not an easy thing to do. But people get really injured. There's ambulances on standby. And it's a major thing. It's well worth Googling. Highly entertaining. So if you ever fancy chasing a cheese down a hill, you know where to go.
Well, you made me think a hay bale was a ridiculous answer. But after that, I feel like it was worth a shot there. Yeah, I have heard that before, actually, I'm not a cheese fan, so not for me, that one, I'm afraid. Yeah, no. I could have melted cheese, yeah. Not a cheese on cracker kind of guy.
No, I'm not a cheese on cracker guy, but I do like a bit of cheese and wine.
So sophisticated.
I know, darling. Before we introduce today's guest, you had a bit of a fun experience on Friday. Tell us quickly about that.
Oh, yes. So just a quick thank you as well, because we said we would shout them out on our next episode, to Motorsport Biomechanics. And biomechanics is a fun word, which I didn't know what meant before. But I got invited down to Goodwood to basically get in a car, one of their track cars, a BMW M Sport car, and with a pro driver. And they hooked me up with lots of bits of wires, and they were basically measuring my muscle activity. And they do this in motorsport. They work with MotoGP a lot. They've done Formula One as well. So and they're trying to, you know, expand and work with more and more racing series too. And basically it's just to assess what parts of your muscles are working at what time or where, how hard are you doing it. So I did a couple of laps and they look at the data. And it was me, I went in, and then Ben Edwards went in after me, and Ben Edwards is like a proper racer. Yeah. So I look like an idiot, but going in before. But he, my one was, I use my left hand more than my right, interestingly. I only use 10% of my muscle capacity in my right arm.
That's interesting.
Which I found curious, because I'm right-handed. But then they said, obviously, because it's a manual car, I'm changing gear with my left hand.
Yep.
Hence, that is doing more of the work. But they said the next time you get in, they want me to work more with my right hand. But I think that also depends on if the circuit's like clockwise or anti-clockwise,
yeah.
Surely.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was quite interesting either way to sort of like get behind the wheel of the car for a start, could barely fit in it, and then also just see how they measure it all. It's quite interesting. So there's a full video on our YouTube page if people want to check it out as well. And Motorsport Biomechanics and all that stuff is really cool as well. So thanks to them for inviting me down.
Yeah, it's really good. And you do reveal your lap time, which is quite interesting. So I'd be keen to know what a normal lap time is in a similar sort of powered car, just so we can see exactly how slow you were.
I was like a minute plus off the pace, I think. So, missed every apex.
Oh, wow. good stuff. Well, should we introduce today's guest?
A proper racing driver. Yes, I think we should.
So today we're joined by the lovely Alice Powell. She's raced in Formula Renault, Jaguar I-Pace, W Series, of course, and many more. She's a championship winner, multiple podium taker, and she's even tried her hand in the commentary booth. We're here to find out what makes her tick, her thoughts, opinions, and even her fears. Alice Powell, welcome to the Motor Mouth Podcast.
Hi, guys. Thank you very much. And I have never chased the cheese down the hill.
No, I don't think we should.
I've seen it on the local news, and... Yeah, I've done a local run, which people do on Boxing Day, usually.
Okay.
And you run through a brook. I can't remember what it's called now. I think it's called the Brook Run, actually, in Chadlington. And the water is freezing cold. And you have to crawl underneath this this bridge that's really not, you know, you're crouched down and your knees come out battered and bruised. Ugh. And you're absolutely freezing cold. And I think, yeah, the day I was... did it a couple of years ago, David Cameron was doing it. I don't know where he finished. I think I beat him. So
that's the thing, though.
That's the only local thing I've actually really done that's crazy is running through a brook on Boxing Day in freezing cold weather.
Well, that's the thing, though. When you're an athlete, you've got to be careful, haven't you? You can't chase a cheese and end up injuring yourself. Imagine explaining that to in the press release.
die from freezing in a brook instead.
All that, yeah. Sounds more athlete-y. Where are you at the moment? Where are you joining us from now, then? Are you in the Cotswolds? Are you still there?
Yeah, so actually, me and my fiancé, James, we don't live in Chipping Norton now, so we live in Bourton-on-the-Water, which is probably more Cotswold-y, you could say. So, I'm here in Bourton-on-the-Water at the moment at home.
Lovely place. Floods a lot.
Yeah, well, luckily, I'm quite a little bit out, so I haven't got caught by any flooding just yet.
Well, look, we go there a lot, actually, because it's got... Have you been there, Harry? It's beautiful.
No, never.
It's an amazing, amazing little place with... it's proper picture postcard material. So we go there with the kids a lot. So I'll come and annoy you next time I'm there, Alison.
Let me know when you're here.
Yeah.
I've never been to Birdland, actually. We can take a trip there.
To which one?
Birdland. It's right... I jog past it every time I go out running.
Didn't know that.
And I've never been.
The names of these places... Born on the Water, Birdland...
Birdland, full of birds. I presume it's full of birds.
Yeah,
but
Birdland's not like a village. It's a place. It's an actual bird place. It's not like Harry. Were you thinking it's like a village, like Birdland?
Yeah.
No.
It's an actual in Bourton-on-the-Water.
Yeah. Oh, we've already gone really random. Right.
We really have.
Back to it, Harry.
Yes, come on, let's get back to the motorsport stuff that we all tend to do most of the time, Alice. Let's go back to the very start, just first of all and briefly, and how you first came into contact with the motorsport world. What was it that went in your head, yes, I want to be a racing driver?
Well, it was from when my parents turned the TV on when I was about 3 or 4 years old. I'm sure they turned it on prior to this, but they'd stick me in front of the TV and motorsport was on and I would shut up. Apparently, I was a baby that used to cry a lot. So sticking me in front of motorsport would stop me from crying. So my passion really stemmed from there, to be honest. I was a huge Michael Schumacher fan growing up. You know, my earliest memories are sitting in front of the TV, watching him race. I remember I had like a little early learning center red suit, and I'd just be, you know, riding around the garden, pretending I was Michael Schumacher. And eventually went to a go-kart track when I was 8 years old. And it sort of went from there, to be honest with you.
And then fast forward a few years after all of this, you find yourself in Formula Renault at just 16, which at the time, and maybe still is, you became the youngest female driver in any Formula Renault race. And the following year, you were the first to win a Formula Renault championship. So at this point, you must be thinking, I'm onto something here. I'm quite good at this. Perhaps there's a career in it for me.
Yeah, but I think you probably, at that sort of age, you realise the budget side of things. Yeah. And, you know, any driver sort of at 16, 17 is fully aware of what's going on and the budget sort of side of things. Formula One was 100%, you know, the target to try and reach there, you know, and winning the championship, as you mentioned, in 2010, was when I was 17, was a big achievement. And, yeah, that spurred me on even more to continue the success. But unfortunately, budget side of things really hit that a couple of years later, even after in 2014 when I won the Formula Renault Asia Championship. The year after, you know, I didn't have a drive. So, it was a great achievement. But, you know, it's unfortunately this sport is a lot about budget and, you know, you could have the success. I'm not the only sort of driver. You've got like Jamie Caroline, for example, who won the British F4 Championship. And, you know, he's scraping the pot for drives as well. And it's difficult. It's difficult for these young drivers.
Yeah, it's frustrating, isn't it? Because when you see people like Jamie Caroline, who's, he's serious racing driver and won a lot of races. And if he's struggling, it sort of feels like, the sport is fundamentally set up in the wrong fashion. I mean, there must be something we can do to change it. I guess the likes of W Series, which we'll come on to more later, with their funding system and their rewards for winning a championship, right down to if you come, I don't know how far the money goes, but you get rewarded financially to take that next step. And I think it's something like £500,000, isn't it, if you win the championship, which is a big, big chunk to take forward into the next part of your career. And what can we do to try and make motorsport more accessible?
That's a really good question. Obviously, the W Series has come along to try and make it more accessible for women and to help give more females opportunities and encourage more females into the sport. But in terms as a whole, that's a really tough question because starting at the grassroots, you know, it's expensive. You know, you've got people spending hundreds of thousands of pounds on a go-kart. So it's absolutely crazy. So it sort of starts from the grassroots. And if, you know, you could have an investment into series that will hugely help. So, and help reduce the costs. But obviously trying to get more businesses involved with advertising, et cetera. But, you know, Tim, that's so difficult to do because it's so expensive. So there's actually no real answer that I can give to that because, you know, who can come along and say, right, I'm paying for all the young talent out there, because you'll need a pretty big wallet.
It's the almost the unanswerable question at the moment, even though you have the likes of, you know, people like Toto Wolff saying, you know, we need to change things, needs to get cheaper, but you can talk about it all you like and someone needs to do something at some point, don't they? You know, actions speak louder than words. But you, despite the financial struggles which you were feeling at the time going up through the ranks, you did manage to get a place in GP3, which is when I sort of first became aware of you. And that wasn't an easy start, was it? Because you were the first woman in GP3 to race. And you didn't have much time to prep going into the season, did you? Talk to us a bit about how that deal came together. Because and you really did well, though, in the end. You know, I think the highest of eighth place at one point, considering not having had the amount of testing that perhaps some of the other races were getting as well, coming into a team so quickly. Impressive results, nonetheless.
Yeah, so I finished the Formula Renault UK season, and that would have finished in October time. And then I actually didn't sit back in a car until my first test in the GP3 car, which I think was about April time. So that was the only test that I did, was a test day at Silverstone in the GP3. It was literally a last minute deal, you know, from Status, who needed to basically fill the last seat. And obviously it was a really good deal, you know, a very, say, cheap deal to fill the seat. So we managed to get some sponsorship to do that and fill the seat. But yeah, it was, you know, it was, I just remember jumping in the car at Silverstone thinking, wow, this is just so much faster than the Formula Renault, so much more grip with the Pirelli tyres. The degradation is totally different. I was thinking, this is going to be a frigging tough year. And, you know, we went to the first race in Barcelona thinking, yeah, if we get in the top 20, I'll be pretty happy. First race, we got, unfortunately, got taken out. And then we came from 20-something to 11th in the second race. So, you know, we had some really mixed results that year. I think we had a lot of DNFs, probably five DNFs, a couple of issues in qualifying with the car breaking down a couple of times, which didn't help, you know, with the season. But it was a tough year, but we eventually got into the top eight at the end of the year. So it would have been nice to have stayed on and do another year. But, you know, again, budget was hugely restricted. And, you know, if you wanted to progress, and even now, if you look at FIF3, and that's from 20, so that's nearly 10 years ago now, budgets for top teams can stretch to over $1 million now. And that was definitely no way near the amount of money that was required to do GP3 back then. So we can even see now that the costs are going up tremendously.
It's mad.
Go on. Did you find yourself getting a lot of attention because obviously you were the first female in GP3? And was that annoying, first of all? Or was that, you know, and was it quite difficult to sort of manage the perception you're suddenly, you know, you've got eyes on you because you are the first woman in GP3, or was that not the case?
No, I mean, there was two other girls in GP3 as well. There was Carmen Jordan and Vicky Piria. Vicky Piria, she's obviously doing W Series this year as well. So there was a couple of other girls. So that sort of, you know, took the limelight sort of off me just saying, just being the only one, you know, but we still did quite a lot of PR and made, you know, PR around it. And the series did a great job in helping promote her.
I think having Carmen Jordan there will help take the limelight away, let's be honest. She got a rough time. I actually felt sorry for her. A couple of years ago, when she was all over social media, she got annihilated. I actually ended up feeling a bit sorry for her because you sort of think at the end of the day...
And I know social media can be a horrible place sometimes, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, she's just trying to make a success of herself one way or another. Yeah.
You can't, like all of us.
Yeah, you can't knock it. You know, it's just classic Twitter mobocracy, just trying to take someone down for being successful.
I think Twitter can be the worst. Yeah. I honestly do think Twitter. Of all, you know, if you're going to go Facebook, Instagram and Twitter, I definitely think, yeah, Twitter can be, you know, some of the stuff I've read on Twitter. Like sometimes I do some blogs for the race.
Yeah.
And, yeah, some of the, obviously the opinions differ from some of the fans sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, wow, that was quite aggressive.
I've never really felt that before until I started doing a little bit of the commentary this year on Formula 2 and Formula 3 and even the Porsche stuff as well for F1. And I don't think I would not want to use Twitter if I didn't have to use it for work and that kind of thing. Because, you know, it's a great tool because you can... You know, from a journalist kind of thing, you know, you can obviously promote your work, but then you know, you research on it, you can see what drivers are saying, what they're up to, and that's all helpful information. But the amount of absolute crap you get tweeted at you from accounts that, you know, don't have a name, or, you know, it's like Martin with a, you know, a union flag as his profile picture, and it's just like, come on, Matt. Like, honestly,
come on, Martin. Leave me alone.
Come on, Martin. That was on a minute scale.
profile picture.
Honestly, but it's a huge issue, isn't it? And I can't. It's obviously on another level to see you guys are actually driving as well. So. Yeah, not fun.
No, it's a toxic place. But you mentioned earlier you took a gap from racing because of that lack of funding. What was that period like? It must have been challenging when you're making so much progress and then you've got to step back because you don't have the necessary funds to keep going. What was the mindset like then? What did you think was going to happen?
To be honest with you, I was thinking, yeah, well, hopefully something will come up. I kept trying to get sponsorship and sending out sponsorship packs. And, you know, you can, a lot of the times you can sort of do that until you're blue in the face. And it's so frustrating when you don't get anything back. You know, I've really came to learn that it's sort of who you know, but I help some of my current drivers that I'm helping at the moment try and get sponsorship. And we are sometimes literally just sending out to local companies and, you know, it can be really tough. And that time period of being out racing, I was still going to racetracks doing the coaching, which kept me super busy. But yeah, it was quite frustrating, you know, not being able to drive. And if it wasn't for the W Series, who knows, would I, you know, be racing now and have the opportunities that I've done racing in America, Formula E opportunities? Probably not, you know, it's never say never, but probably not.
A quick interruption to the show to remind you to check out our sponsor, F1 Experiences. F1 Experiences offer a wide range of packages that come direct from Formula One, giving you a unique experience of the pinnacle of motorsport. Official ticket packages come with the very best race tickets, first-class hotels and transfers, and unprecedented access, including track tours, pit lane walks, VIP hospitality, and loads more. It really is the closest you can get to Formula One, and thanks to F1 Experiences, you can return to the track this year, and Motormouth listeners can save 5% on your next F1 Experiences package by using the code Motormouth when booking online at f1experiences.com.
So how did the W Series opportunity arise? Because that was 2019. You've been out the picture for a little while. Was it a case of them tapping you on the shoulder and saying, hey, come and have a look at this? Or did you go to them and then you showed what you can do?
So I heard sort of, you know, motorsport's a close family and, as you know, rumours float about. And I heard a rumour of the end of 2018 saying, oh, there's an all-female championship that's fully funded, that's, you know, is looking to...
Tired of ads interfering with your favourite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
To recruit some females and go through, you know, a rigorous testing process. And I thought, how the hell can a series fund 18 drivers with prize money? Like, you've got to be kidding me. I thought, nah, that's not going to happen. And, yeah, I got a call from Dave Ryan saying, right, we're starting up this series and, you know, gave me lots of information. Would you be interested? And I, of course, said, well, yeah. And then when we went to, had to fill out all the forms, went to the first sort of... testing phase, then you realize, okay, yeah, this is pretty much the real deal. You know, the workforce behind W Series, even in the first year, was tremendous. And, you know, it was pretty stressful, with all the tests that we had to go through. We went into Austria and in the freezing cold temperatures, doing ice driving and all this kind of stuff. And yeah, it was a tough process, but one that, you know, W Series were taking really seriously to try and find and get the best 18 on the grid. And yeah, luckily I came out as one of them and was able to race it in 2019 and race obviously again this year.
Did you see the big picture of it straight away? Because we have chatted to a few other of your cohort and others who are not in the W Series who looked at it and thought, an all-female championship? No, that can't work. That's like the opposite of what we want to achieve. And then change their mind once it got going.
Yeah, initially I was like, well, hang on. I sort of want to just race against anyone. Yeah. You know, but then as I read more into it, I was like, well, it's about giving the opportunities and the opportunity for like myself to get back out racing again. And, you know, I totally then fully understood the concept. And it wasn't about, okay, you can race in this championship, but you must never, ever go back to racing against males. You know, you're not allowed to do that. It was nothing about that. It was just trying to encourage more girls to get involved and to get more females in motorsport. And yeah, that's certainly what W Series are achieving right now.
Yeah, you're a good case study for it, I suppose, because it's for you, it's done exactly what the championship set out to do. Get more bums on seats, get people with talent back in a racing car, and push them through to the next stage of their career. Harry made a good point when we spoke to Catherine many episodes ago, when we were talking about the reason that the W Series was created. And Harry's point to her, which was an interesting one that I hadn't thought of at the time, was it is success for the W Series when it's no longer needed, which I thought was quite interesting because it's, you know, if the whole point of it is to get more female participation, get more people racing, more girls racing, and spreading out throughout the ecosystem, does success for the W Series come when it is no longer needed?
I would say that's probably correct. I would have thought, you know, if you've got a higher percentage or a much higher percentage of females racing with bums on seats, mechanicking, engineering in the paddock, you know, and they have the confidence to step forward and to race, then, yeah, I would say that... That, you know, I'm not sure what Catherine's answer was. But no, I'm sure that...
I think she dodged it. I think she dodged that one.
No, I think she agreed. Because ultimately, you know, what the ambitions for the championship are exactly that, aren't they? Are to get current racers more opportunities right now, but then that to trickle through, isn't it? To grassroots. And that's where, you know, so those girls who are interested in karting or slightly interested in racing. I think we chatted to Nikki Shields about this as well. And, you know, she said so often that she got to the age of 12 or whatever. And that's when a lot of her friends at school or whatever weren't interested at all in racing, and she was the only one. But because none of her friends were, she no longer kind of pursued that avenue. And so this is almost like, well, if suddenly, you know, there's a grid full of female racers who are then going off to, you know, whether that's working in Formula One or whether that's working in sports cars or touring cars or whatever it might be, suddenly there's a whole load of ambassadors and people to look up to that then can carry those girls who are interested in karting and racing from a young age to push through that seeming barrier when they stop pursuing it. I think that's right.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think, you know, women's sport is in a good place now, whether it's motorsport, football, cricket, you know, it's heading in the right direction. It still needs, you know, a lot of work, but it's certainly heading in the right direction. I think, as I say to some of my youngsters like Ella Stevens and Abby Pulling, I say, you guys, you're young and, you know, you're in the right time to be a female sort of racing in this sport. So, you know, make the most of it, I say to them. So,
yeah, absolutely. Well, how was that first year for you in W Series then, driving the car? What was it? What were the highlights? What were the lowlights?
So obviously the lows, we'll start with them, getting them out of the way first, was, you know, the middle of the season, there was obviously that incident in Misano, which probably created the best photo, I would personally say, of 2019. and then we had some trouble at Nürburgring with, you know, I got taken out of free practice. We had a gearbox failure in qualifying after one lap, and then the fuel pump went in the race. So those were sort of the real lows, and they were the tough ones. But obviously the highs was that first race at Hockenheim. You know, really showed the hard work from Catherine, Sean and the rest of the team to be back out and actually having that feeling of lining up on a starting grid again, you know, going full revs, getting the car off the line, racing wheel to wheel. that was a huge highlight. And then also the Brands Hatch race at the end of the year, winning in front of a home crowd, it was super special. But also having seen loads of young girls there as well, who are super keen to get into motorsport now from seeing all of us race.
And those young girls that you mentioned there, you know, I was at Brands for that race and there was loads of young kids, boys and girls, but, you know, more girls than you would usually see at a racetrack. Those girls are looking up to the likes of you and Jamie and Emma and others, inspiring them to go and become racing drivers. And that those sort of 5-6 year olds, I suppose, are the ones that will go on to potentially Formula One and other, you know, top series. Have you thought through the sort of timelines as to when you think we'll see not just a, you know, development driver or reserve driver from W Series or elsewhere that's female, but when do you think we'll see the first full-blown female racing driver in Formula One?
I would love to say it would be in the next sort of 5 years, because you've got so much talent, you know, on the W Series grids, and coming up, you know, prior to W Series, girls that haven't quite reached W Series that are racing in F4, even in karting. And there's some young girls doing amazing things in karting at the moment. So obviously for those in karting, it's going to take a little bit longer, but I think the real push for it and the real drive of female talent emerging, I would like to say within the next 5 years, we'll be able to see a female racing in Formula One.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
It would. I really hope so. And while we're on W Series, let's keep talking about it, because as we record today, what's the date today, Harry? It's the 8th of September.
The 8th.
8th of September. So we have, what, two races left, the States and Mexico. I don't want to give it the kiss of death or anything, but it's looking quite good, isn't it? So you've got yourself, Jamie and Emma Kimmerlainen up there. Your top, I don't want to, you know, commentator's curse and all that Harry's very familiar with these days. It's looking good though, isn't it? It's looking good.
Yeah, it's I don't think W Series could really ask for a more closer sort of showdown over the pond, can they really? It's tied on points. I'm leading because I've had more wins than James. Someone actually pointed out to me, they said, you know what, if the season was the same length as it was in 2019, you would have won.
Oh, yeah.
Really hope that is not a massive.
Oh no! Who was that person? That's not what you want to hear.
No, my days! Don't tell me that. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to the fight over in the States and Mexico. I think it's literally going to go, I would like to say, down to the wire, and I hope it is a close fight, because, you know, I'm looking forward to the stress and the pressure. Because I think, you know, I enjoy those sort of situations.
Yeah. And I think it's fair to say, and this might not be a popular thing to say because I know that some of your colleagues listen to this podcast, but I think there's the right 3 or 4 people at the top of the championship. There's a lot of good drivers in there. We've had the likes of Abby on here, and she's a fantastic driver and is relatively new to the W Series and still perhaps finding her feet slightly. But I think between yourself, Jamie, Emma Kimmerlainen, who we're big fans of, we love a straight talking Finn, that it's the right people at the top of the championship, and while there is a lot of talent throughout that grid, it feels like you guys might just be a step above, and it's fantastic to see you battling away. So we wish you all the best for the rest of this season, and I hope that this podcast ages well, and that by the time we get to Mexico, that you found yourself top of the tree. But what does the future hold? I mean, if you win the championship this year, what are the rules? Are you allowed to do it again? Do you have to leave? What comes next?
So basically, it's if I don't want to take the super license points, I believe, from what I understand, that I can do the series again next year. But if I want to take super license points, then I can't do the series again next year. So I've been asked this question so many times, what are you going to do if you win? And I answer with simply, I have no idea. What I'm going to do.
So if you win it, or whoever wins, because I don't want to keep banging that drum. So whoever wins gets 20, is it 25 super license points? Have I got that right?
So yeah, and I should know. I think that's correct.
Harry will know. This will test your knowledge. How many do you need to get into F1? Do we know?
You need to accumulate them, don't you, over various series. I've got no idea how many actual you need to get into Formula One.
I mean,
or to actually do a test. You need to also complete the 100-kilometer test, don't you, as well?
So I'm just, I guess where I'm going is I'm curious to know if there is this little thing in the back of your head that thinks, okay, if I get those super license points, it's a little bit of a tease. You know, Formula One, those points are there to get to Formula One. Will you take them?
You know, to be honest, I'd still love the opportunity to get to Formula One. I know that people bang on, well, you're knocking on a bit now, getting to 28. You know, but if there's any opportunity still to even test, get a free practice test or something along that, because you'll need super license points for that, then yeah, I would jump at the opportunity. So, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, if I don't take them, then something's going to come along, isn't it? And they're going to say, well, you should have taken your super license. 25 super license points are a lot. Yeah. So
I've got the answer for you. You need to have accumulated at least 40 points.
40 points. Yeah.
Not quite. You're halfway there if you get it. It's 40 points over the previous three seasons in any combination of championships reported in Supplement 1 of the regulations, which includes things like Formula 2, IndyCar, Formula 3, Formula E. I don't know if W Series must be on there. Where is that? There it is, W Series. Yeah, that's in there as well.
Yeah.
Interesting.
F3 Asia as well, I think.
Yeah, there's an F3 Asia, Super DT, DTM will get it as well.
It really,
Formula Regional.
It really dangles a carrot though, doesn't it? It's quite clever because you sort of think, if I get those points, I'm over halfway there. And just, a few more good results over the next 2 years and I'm in, potentially.
Exactly. So, who knows? I'll have to make that decision. We'll see what happens. Need to bloody win it first.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, bring it home and then make your mind up after that. But, I mean, I mentioned Formula E there just briefly. Obviously, you've got an increasing role in that with the Envision Virgin Racing team as well, and you've done a few rookie tests with them and throughout the series. So how are you finding that the Formula E life must be something very different to you?
I absolutely love Formula E. I love the racing, you know, the whole concept of it, everything that Formula E are doing to make things greener. I'm a huge Formula E fan. So to have the opportunity to test back at the start of 2020 was incredible. And then to have the opportunity to be part properly of the Envision Virgin Racing team and, you know, do a lot of their work on the sim and development stuff was great. So I'm really enjoying, being part of the team and had the opportunity to go to London E-Prix this year, which was a great event. And yeah, Formula E is definitely one of my options. I think I'm keeping literally every option open, maybe excluding riding a motorbike. I think I would cause myself a serious injury if I swapped from 4 to 2.
Yeah.
But no, keeping my options open.
Now, you've obviously taken on this role with EVR, based over at Silverstone, a great facility there, very impressressive sim room, which I've been in, actually. You must spend an awful lot of time in that room. Tell us a little bit about your role, what your purpose is with the team and how the data or the knowledge that you gain out of that simulator is transferred to a race weekend.
So we do lots of different runs prior to the race weekend. So, we'll do race runs, qualifying simulation runs, full course yellow, lots of different sort of data collection runs to help the team when they go to that track. So, for me, it's a great role and something I'm really enjoying doing.
Well, while the Wi-Fi is still with us, Alice, because we don't want to keep you too much longer. But, I mean, your career already is incredibly impressive, especially with the opportunities not always being there and hard fought and not to mention the money side of things. What advice do you give to the young racers you coach now, coming up through the ranks? What do you say to them that you wish, you'd been told?
I just think it's a lot of it is preparation. So when I was a lot younger, I could have done my preparation a lot better. So yeah, the couple of drivers that I help, and so there's a lot of preparation that goes in prior to the race weekends, especially when you move into cars. There's a lot to do and to deal with. So really making them aware of that and helping with their preparation. And as I've said, there's a long, long process. And a lot of it starts, a lot of the hard work needs to be done before you arrive to the track. So you're ready and prepared to go.
Now, you're clearly a very quick racing driver. You're helping others come through the system. What are you crap at, though? Like, what would your fiance, for example, say that you're completely useless at?
Cooking.
No.
Right, so he does all the cooking. Well, I haven't been at home, so I haven't even had the opportunity to cook for a long time. But if he's watching me cooking spaghetti bolognese, which, you know, it's easy to do, I still apparently do that wrong out of the jar. The Milo out of the jar is a big no-no for him. He cooks it all from fresh. So cooking is not, I'm not very good at. So don't invite me to, I'm never going on Come Dine With Me, basically, put it that way.
Oh, what a shame. Well, you know what? Nothing wrong with a bit of bolognese if you can get it out of the jar. now, I'm going to fast forward it, Tim, due to Cotswold's Wi-Fi. And the final three to you, Alice, which is brought to you by F1 Experiences. Do you want to kick off with the first one, Tim, or do you want me to?
Sure, yeah. Alice Powell, what has got you excited at this very moment?
Being on this podcast.
Yay!
Hey.
Someone said it at last.
He's listened to the other ones, that's why. There we go. Excellent answer. What are you scared of?
Spiders. Oh. I hate spiders. And I had an incident with a spider last night, and I swear it dodged my fly. All my race gears.
Oh, we lost you again. We lost you mid spider. Yeah, yeah. Go on, Harry. Tear up again.
I'll just say, what are you scared of?
Spiders. I hate spiders. Can't deal with spiders. Had an incident with one last night that definitely dodged my shoe somehow and ran straight back under the cupboard where all my race kit is and is probably laying spider babies all in my house.
I'd burn that and buy a new race kit. I think that's the only way forward from that. Only way forward.
Our final question for you. What is your favourite racing destination on the W Series calendar?
Well, that's a good one. The British Grand Prix was super special. We're going
The atmosphere. The atmosphere at Zandvoort looked insane.
The atmosphere at Zandvoort was incredible. It was super cool. But the atmosphere at Silverstone and being a British driver was really cool. So if I've got to pick one of them, I would have to pick the British Grand Prix because, you know, it's the British Grand Prix, home event.
Patriotism at work.
That's
lovely.
What we like.
Absolutely.
Well, but if you've obviously got Circuit of the Americas coming up. I don't know whether you've been there before. That is a wicked race. And the after party on Sunday night is amazing. Make sure you go to the Blind Pig and you have to get blind drunk. It's sort of it's the rules, really. That is a fantastic, fantastic race circuit.
I'll either be getting blind drunk celebrating or blind drunk crying.
Oh. Lost
the championship.
No, we're keeping the faith. We'll see how this ages, but we've got you. You've got this. You've got this.
Got it. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, listen, Alice Powell, thank you so much for joining us over the course of the last 40 minutes or so. We really appreciate your time. Good luck for the rest of this season. Really hope it's successful for you and you get those super license points and we see you progressing up and through the ranks further and further. And hopefully we'll see you at a paddock soon.
Thanks very much, guys.
Before you go, one final reminder to check out F1 Experiences, the official experience, hospitality and travel program of Formula One. F1 Experiences is the closest you can get to the sport. Official ticket packages, which include the best race tickets, first class hotels, travel and exclusive behind the scenes access across a Grand Prix weekend. F1 Experiences offer packages like no other. So to book your F1 Experiences package, head online to f1experiences.com. And if you enter code Motormouth, you'll get 5% off too. Thank you so much for listening to the Motormouth podcast. Do make sure you give us a follow on our socials, Twitter at Motormouth_, Instagram at Motormouth_official, and Facebook, just search Motormouth. You can also download the Motormouth app where you can get exclusive video content from MMTV, create your own social profile to interact with other fans, and check up on all the latest happenings with whatever motorsport takes your fancy. We're also proud to be supporting the Brain Tumor Charity too, So make sure you check the links in the podcast description to find out how you can help cure brain tumours quicker. Don't forget to like, subscribe and review. And until next time, you've been listening to the Motormouth Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.